Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, the Word, this afternoon, and hope you'll be able to stick with us. And got a number of things to talk about here today. Lots happening in the world. And, you know, there's the old saying about I've heard it referenced various times as a curse from various ethnic groups and cultures, but the gist of it is, may you live in interesting times. And we certainly live in interesting times today. This has by no means been a slow news week. If you've been watching the things that are unfolding around the world in our country, as well as over in the Middle East in particular, and that's one of the things I was going to focus on here a little bit today. But just a reminder that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us there. You can also link from that page to our church page for the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I am the pastor, and I certainly want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. We're located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's Northern Summit County, right where the Ohio Turnpike crosses Interstate 77, and there's the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located right there, and you can find us there. We meet there every Friday evening from 7 o'clock till about 9. We usually stay around for about an hour after that, so kind of an informal Bible study. And we'll be there tonight. There'll be more information about this at the end of the program, but certainly invite you to come out and visit if you're looking for something to do on a Friday night and you want to learn more about the Bible and bring your questions. That's what we do at our Friday night Bible study. And we have plenty of refreshments and things like that as well. Also, in addition to that, we have our regular services on Sunday there, as well at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We have our morning service, our morning Bible study at 10 o'clock. I'll readily admit, I'm not a morning person, so I'm kind of slow getting going sometimes during that time. But it's we got the coffee pot going, and sometimes somebody brings in some cookies or donuts or brownies or something. And then our morning service, the regular morning service starts at 11 o'clock, and currently preaching through the book of Romans right now. I'm in Romans chapter 15. We're nearing the end. And then on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, same location, preaching through the book of Psalms right now. And I believe I'm at Psalm 130. It'll be Sunday night. So that's what we're doing. I also want to mention, too, that we have coming up on Christmas Eve, two things about Christmas Eve. Our church will be meeting on Christmas Eve. We have our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service, a special service, and invite you to come. If you're not doing anything on Christmas Eve, perhaps your church is not doing anything, or maybe even canceling services, some churches do on Christmas Eve and for whatever reason, but if your church is canceled or you're not going anywhere normally on Sunday night, why don't you come out and visit us on Christmas Eve for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. We'll have some cookies and, you know, Christmas cookies. Got to have those, and refreshments and things afterwards as well, time of fellowship. But that's at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and that's in place of our regular 6 p.m. Sunday night service this year. Also, I should mention while I'm thinking about it, we'll be there on New Year's Eve, but I won't be there until midnight at our church service. I had a radio program at 11 o'clock on Sunday nights, and that's the other thing I was going to mention. We will be live on the air on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve with our radio program. And in addition to reading the account of the Christmas, the birth of Christ according to the scriptures, at our Christmas Eve service, we'll be reading that on the radio on our Christmas Eve on our radio program at 11 o'clock. So just to let you know what's coming up a little later on this month. So I invite you to take part in those things. I want to get into a couple of things here today. And of course, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you do have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I invite you to give us a call. And I want to talk about something today that is both current events and something that's in the Bible. Well, it's current events in light of God's Word, and it's a question about the Bible. And unless you've been sleeping the last week or so, you've missed the news where President Trump the other day has officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And this is a fantastic thing. Now, apparently, Vladimir Putin over in Russia recognized Israel as the capital, Jerusalem as the capital of Israel some time ago, but the world didn't worry too much about when he did it. But President Trump has officially recognized the city as the city of Jerusalem as the capital, and this has spurred a number of responses. Of course, a number of countries around the world have said, oh, it's a horrible thing, oh, the horror, and we need a special UN meeting convened immediately to deal with this threat to world peace and stability. Now, think about this. Every nation that I'm aware of, the capital city is in the city that nation chooses for its capital city, and except for Israel. Now, the nation of Israel has chosen Jerusalem as its capital city, but the world doesn't want to recognize that. They say Tel Aviv, and that's where our embassy is. Well, about 20-some years or so ago, the United States Congress passed a law mandating that the United States move its embassy from Tel Aviv to the Jewish capital of, or the Israeli capital of, Jerusalem. And every president since then has just kicked the can down the road, issuing a series of waivers preventing that from taking place. And finally, even though many of them ran on a promise that they would, well, finally, we have a president, President Trump, who has made good on his campaign promise that he would obey the law that was passed by the legislative branch of our government. Remember, we have a government that's divided into three branches, co-equal branches. The legislative, they're the ones who are supposed to be passing laws, and then the executive, the ones who are supposed to be carrying out those laws, enacting them, executing them, and then the judicial, which judges on the basis of those laws. And there's checks and balances and various things that get into it, but that's a sort of simplified look at it. But the executive, of which the president is the head of, is supposed to carry out, execute the laws passed by the legislative branch, which was to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And so finally, we have a president who is willing to execute the laws duly passed by the majority of our representative senators in the Congress of the United States, and also in fulfillment of his campaign promise. Now, this is also in fulfillment of a biblical statement, and a number of people have been talking about this on the radio. I know Bruce Musselman was talking about this yesterday on his program, and this is in Zechariah chapter 12, and I want to read a statement that God says here in Zechariah chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Now, that's given the source of this prophecy that Zechariah has here. It's coming directly from the Lord. This is Jehovah God, the Creator, who stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth. the creator that formed the spirit of man within him. This is coming from God himself. He says in verse 2, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." Then he says in verse 3, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Now, think about this. If it weren't for that verse, that passage here in the scripture, how would you explain that a small town, Jerusalem's really not that big. Now, I've not had the privilege of visiting Jerusalem and actually being there. I've looked at, pictures and films and things from Jerusalem and things like that, but I've never been there. I've talked with people who've been there. Jerusalem is not a huge metropolis. Now, I've been to London. London, England is a big city. I've been to through New York City. It was in the night. I was half asleep having flown in from England. And when I was leaving England, when I was stationed there in the Air Force, we arrived and I had to wait for a transport to take me down to a base in New Jersey. And we rode from we rode across, I think it was Manhattan. We crossed one of the bridges. Still don't know which one it was. I just remember big buildings. Now, those are big cities. Chicago's a big city. I tried to drive around Chicago. I've been there a couple times. Even Cleveland here is a pretty good-sized city. I mean, but Jerusalem is not a big city. Put it in perspective for those of us here in Northeast Ohio. Think something more along the size of Akron or Youngstown. And yet, this relatively small city is in the news, not simply on a daily basis, but almost an hourly and a minutely basis. There are riots and things going on in Jerusalem right now because President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Hamas and different jihadi groups, terrorist groups, have called for a day of rage, and there's rioting going on. There's protests taking place, not just in Jerusalem, but around the world. There's protests taking place, protesting this terrible thing that has taken place. I had an article here I wanted to refer to here. Chris Matthews, if any of you have had the dubious pleasure or honor of listening to him much on the TV or radio in the past, but Chris Matthews came on the MSNBC's Morning Joe show, and I believe this would have been yesterday morning or the day before, probably yesterday morning, I guess. I'm not sure exactly which day it was, but he made some disparaging statements about President Trump's moving the Capitol declaration that we're going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And he blames it on people like us, specifically those in the South, but also other evangelicals. He said this. He said, "If you don't give the Palestinians hope that they can have a national integrity and have a capital where they believe it should be, you're going to have an unending problem." So Matthews is predicting all kinds of upheaval and unrest and the derailment of the peace process, et cetera, because of what Trump did. Now, here's the thing. He said that they should have a capital where they believe it should be. What about the Israelis? What about the Jewish people? Shouldn't they have a capital where they believe it should be? Well, they believe it should be Jerusalem. Are they wrong to have that? We're going to come back to this idea of the Palestinian people in just a minute. But he blames President Bush's decision on what he calls crazy ideas of Christian evangelicals. Here's what he said. He said, "Don't think," and he's talking about Trump's decision, "don't think it's unrelated to Alabama next week." Remember, there's the election going on where hopefully they will elect a senator in a clear election next week. And don't think it's unrelated to Alabama next week, Matthew said, because it's the Christian evangelicals down there with their crazy ideas about Israel. And then he continues, which is, I don't know, mythical. They don't understand the situation over there and how tricky it is ethnically and tribally. He also added, they don't care because it's a religious belief. And now, he says it's crazy ideas. They're mythical. We have this unfounded religious belief, so we just don't know what's going on over there. Well, I'm sorry, Chris Matthews is the one that's got crazy ideas that doesn't know what's going on over there. I clearly read it here in Zechariah chapter 12. He says that he would make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. And he says, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Now, that's what's happening. I have an understanding that that was happening and would happen and would become something that would be happening to a greater degree because of what the Bible says. Because of my so-called mythical beliefs that are based in the Word of God, I understand that God is going to do things in Israel that are going to cause it to be a burdensome stone for people. It's going to be something that's going to cause difficulty for people because they don't understand what's going on there. Well, let me tell you partly what's going on in Israel and in Jerusalem. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was given a vision of things that would wrap up the events. Now they say, well, how can we have peace in the Middle East? How can we have peace in Jerusalem? We need to have this second state solution here called Palestine, and they need to have Jerusalem as their capital city, or at least East Jerusalem. And they don't understand that this has been offered to various groups. I'm thinking of Yasser Arafat, who was offered that, and he refused it. The reason for the refusal is it didn't include the elimination of the state of Israel. And so we've seen where the Palestinian Authority has refused this offer of a two-state solution in the past, though they always say that's what they want. What they really want is the elimination of Israel, because this is a city that God has chosen. He has chosen this city, and he's chosen to put his people, the Jewish people there. Now, there are people other than Jews that live in Israel and that live in Jerusalem that are part of the state of Israel. But we understand that Israel has been a capital of a Jewish state originating back during the time of King David. Now, King David, he conquered Jerusalem, and about 1000 BC. That's when he came in, and he took the city. It was called Salem. Remember, Abraham visited there when he visited Melchizedek, the king of Salem. This is also the location where Abraham took his son Isaac when he was called to see if he would be willing to offer up his son Isaac there on Mount Moriah, which would be the Temple Mount. And so we have seen this presence from the beginning there with Abraham and different things going on there in Israel and in the city of Jerusalem. And David, of course, conquered Jerusalem, made it the capital of the Jewish kingdom. And then his son Solomon built the first temple there about 40 years later. And that, of course, was there, and it was the capital of the United Kingdom of Israel until the Civil War, which broke them into the southern and northern kingdoms after Solomon's death. And, of course, then the city of Jerusalem remained the capital of the southern kingdom of Judah, and the northern kingdom of Samaria. They established their capital in the city of Samaria. And so the northern kingdom of Israel, I should say, established their capital in the city of Samaria. And then we had the divided city for a while. Of course, it was the capital of the Jewish kingdom of Judah until the Babylonians conquered it and took them out of the city. And it was taken away for a while. Now, I don't want to go through the whole history of Jerusalem here. We don't really have time during the program here today, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a flavor for this. Even looking back in recent years, I heard somebody call a program yesterday that said that, well, Jerusalem has been the capital of the Palestinian people for 5,000 years. Well, that's utter nonsense. It's been the capital of Jerusalem. It's been held by the Israelis since 1967. From 48 to 67, it was a part of the Kingdom of Jordan. Prior to 1948, from about 1918, that's one thing I wanted to mention. This is the 100th anniversary of the nation of Israel, or I should say the land there, coming out from underneath the Ottoman Empire into the control of the British Empire. And the British from 1918 controlled it until 1948. And then, of course, at that time, when Israel declared itself a nation, Jordan invaded, and they took over Jerusalem. Now, there's an interesting thing there, because they got on about the two-state solution. Jordan was the two-state solution when the Balfour Declaration was given to mandate a Jewish homeland in the Middle East, and when the Ottoman Empire pulled out of Jerusalem on December 8th, 1918, and then it passed from there into British control. They promised that they would set up a British or a Jewish homeland there. And of course, the Arab interests in the area that did not want a Jewish homeland there protested greatly. And so they carved off about 3/4 of the British mandated homeland for the Jewish people to form the state of Jordan. Now, there was no ethnic Jordanian people. That was all a part of British Palestine. They carved that off to appease the Arab interest to bring peace. That was the two-state solution. Well, that obviously did not work, and so we still have this problem. The Palestinians now are actually an Arab people that have claimed the name Palestine, which is the only place that it ever really occurred that it actually referred to a real people and a real country is in the Bible when it referred to the Philistines. The word Palestine is actually a biblical word. You can find it in your King James Bible. It appears in Joel chapter 3, verse 4, and the word Palestinia occurs in Exodus 15, verse 14, as well as Isaiah 14, verses 29 and 31. They come from the Hebrew word Pelesheth, which occurs 8 times in the Old Testament. And the other times that Pelesheth occurs, it's translated as, guess what? Philistia. And that's in Psalm 60, verse 8, Psalm 87, verse 4, Psalm 108, verse 9. And it's also translated as Philistines in Psalm 83, verse 7. You get the picture here? The Philistines are not an Arab people. The Philistines, you can find their origin in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6, as well as verse 13 through 14, where it says this, "And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan, and Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anannim, and Lahabim, and Naphtuhim, and, Pathrusim, and Kaluhim, out of whom came Philistim." Did you get that? Out of whom came Philistim? They're descendants of Ham. They're the descendants of Noah's son Ham. The Jews and the Arabs are the descendants of Noah's son Shem. The people claiming to be Palestinians today are actually Arabs. They're ethnic Arabs, and they are descendants of Abraham. Now, we don't have time to go into all the difference between Abraham's descendants called the Jews and Abraham's descendants called the Arabs, and some of the reasons for that, we'll have to save for another program. But suffice to say, God recognizes Jerusalem as the holy city that belongs to Him and the capital for His people. In fact, in Daniel chapter 9, I think I started to turn there earlier, in the famous prophecy there, he says 70 weeks in Daniel 9, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And that holy city is Jerusalem. Jerusalem truly is a burdensome stone. But if you read the Bible, you can have understanding of the times and not be overly concerned, because we know Jesus is coming back one day. Won't you get ready? Won't you trust Christ as your Savior? Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.